What is up, everyone? This is Eric Davis. Welcome back to Movies Chat. And The Dark Knight Rises is in theaters, which means now is it okay to talk about whether or not 2012 is the greatest year for superhero movies ever? Over at movies.com, we had a post, I wrote it, at the beginning of July, asking whether 2012 was the best year for superhero movies. This was before The Dark Knight Rises came out. And even before The Dark Knight Rises came out, I deduced that, yes, this was the best year for superhero movies. I also gave you my top three. But now I feel like, since The Dark Knight Rises is in the theaters, yes, Dread has not come out yet, but it did screen at Comic-Con, and we do have some reactions from that. But I felt like now is the time that we can maybe revisit this topic. So I brought on superhero masters that know a lot more than I do about the genre, about comic books, and about these heroes. With me, I have Chris Clow. Chris is a writer over at Batman on Film. He's also the author of the Dark Knight Rises countdown column over at movies.com. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Eric.
And I also have Jeffrey Taylor, who writes for Superman Homepage, and he's also the author of our Man of Steel countdown. Both of these guys, I know Chris just wrapped up his Dark Knight Rises countdown. Jeff has still got a while to go, but both of these guys do a tremendous job with these countdown columns. They know more about these characters than I would say 98% of the population, and if you're a fan of these characters, reading them on a biweekly basis, really digging into the franchise and mythology in the comic books has been fun, at least for me. So thank you guys for that. And hello, Jeff. What's up?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So you've heard my spiel. Let's talk. Let's dive right in. And I'm going to start with you, Chris. Do you think this year, 2012, is the best year for superhero movies ever?
I think it's definitely a contender. Just the fact that you have these movies that are getting so well critically received, I think says a lot. You know, the Avengers knocked everyone on their ass, I think it's pretty safe to say. And Amazing Spider-Man did pretty well. Ghost Rider, probably not so much. But then you have a movie like Chronicle coming out of the woodwork, and I really enjoyed that film, and it seemed like a lot of critics did too. So 2012, I mean, I would have to think about it a little bit, but I would definitely say that 2012 is up there.
Yeah, I feel like that might be – I think a lot of people are going to answer that. Do we need reflection? Oh, do we need to get 5 years out and be able to look back on it and say, okay, now we're ready to say this is the best superhero movie year ever? Or is it okay in the thick of the madness to make an accurate prediction and say yeah, yes or no? I mean, Jeff, what do you think? Do you have a yes or no answer on this?
I have a maybe.
A maybe.
There are some other very good years as well as I'm looking through the list. And when it comes to 2012, it's definitely up there. I would probably put it in the top three. I don't know that I could necessarily say that it's the best one.
It can't necessarily say. You know, and I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. I wasn't as blown away by The Dark Knight Rises as I thought I was, as much as I enjoyed it. But I do think that The Avengers, The Amazing Spider-Man, and The Dark Knight Rises, I don't think we've ever quite had a trio, a back-to-back-to-back, that was as anticipated, that was as talked about, and that was as successful on different levels, both box office and critic-wise, as these three. Do you agree there, Jeff?
Well, on top of them being successful and being all in the same summer back to back to back, you also have three very different comic book based movies. Very different.
And I like that about it. I like how they all took different approaches, and we didn't feel, as much as everybody's kind of throwing out these viral videos of how all these blockbusters are the same over and over again, here you have three comic book movies that have rich mythologies that took very different approaches to the way they approached the films. Chris, what do you think about these three and where they'll stand up in the history of superhero movies?
You know, it's easier for me to say that about The Avengers and The Dark Knight Rises than it is for Amazing Spider-Man. But the fact that you have these stories that are pretty layered, I mean, especially when compared to other comic book movies of the past, it really does show that comic book movies are kind of moving into another direction than they have been in the past. So the fact that you have a movie like The Dark Knight Rises that, I mean, for the criticism that it's gotten, it's it hasn't gotten criticism for not being a very complex movie. So the fact that you have a movie like that that's in theaters and that people are going to see, I think says a lot.
Yeah, and I agree. And when you look at some of the other films around the kind of like if you look at 2012 superhero movies as a baseball team, I feel like, you know, your Avengers, Dark Knight Rises and Amazing Spider-Man's are your 3, 4, and 5 batters. And then you have some of these other guys around it like Chronicle, which did a lot of interesting things and took the superhero movie genre to another place with its found footage and angle. And I really like kind of what they did there. And Ghost Rider, Spirit of the Vengeance, and Dread, say what you want about either film. I know Dread wasn't getting stellar reviews at a Comic-Con where it screened, and Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance didn't get stellar reviews, but they're both kind of R-rated, balls to the wall, we're going for your throats with it. And you have to kind of respect people for taking chances on those superhero films too. Jeff, do you agree?
To a degree, because I really didn't like Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. I thought it was pretty unfortunate. And I enjoyed the first one. I do try to look past a film's faults, which helps me to like movies like The Dark Knight. It didn't help me out so much with Dark Knight Rises, because honestly, that film just made me angry.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could have a very detailed discussion about The Dark Knight Rises right now. But let's, Jeff, before you mentioned 2012 is in your top three, what is your top three?
Oh, my goodness. Just looking at the list off the top of my head, I would definitely put 2012 as one of them. 2011 as well, X-Men First Class, Green Lantern, which I actually enjoyed. Captain America, which was a very good film, I thought. I have not seen Green Hornet. And I guess if I had to pick another year, it might be a toss-up between 2005 and 1989.
2005 and 1989. So you're looking 1989, you're looking at Tim Burton's Batman,
yes,
the first one, the return of Swamp Thing, and The Punisher, one of the earlier Punisher films.
Yeah, that was the Dolph Lundgren one, yeah, which I actually like all three. There are three different reboots of The Punisher. There's the Dolph Lundgren one in 1989. There's in 2004, there was the Thomas Jane one. And then sometime later, I want to say it was there we go, 2008, we had the one with, what was his name? Is it Ray Wise?
Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson.
Right,
and that was the very Garth Ennis, dark, very, very violent one. And I liked all three in different ways. Honestly, if I had to pick one, I'd pick the one in 2004, but Dolph Lundgren's is not that far behind.
Yeah, Chris, do you have a top three?
If 2012 is there, I think 2008 definitely deserves to be there. It's got a similar range of types of movies. You know, you have Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk that are very much in the Avengers category, but then you have Hellboy that's kind of on a whole other level, and then you have The Dark Knight, and you have Punisher Warzone. I'd prefer to ignore the spirit, but yeah, I'm sure other people won't want to do that. But 2008, I think, is definitely up there, along with probably 2005. You know, Batman Begins, V for Vendetta, another interesting movie coming along. Same with Constantine, Elektra, maybe forget about that one. But, I mean, it still was what it was. And Legend of Zorro and Man-Thing, you know, it's a pretty interesting year as well. But, you know, 2011 is a hell of a contender, too. I wrote a piece last year for Movies.com that sort of counts down the best superhero movies of the year. I put Captain America at the top of that list, but I also enjoyed Green Lantern. A lot of people enjoyed X-Men First Class. It brought a lot of people to the movies, and I think Thor surprised a lot of people. So, if I had to choose a top four, I guess it would be those. Yeah, 2011, you shouldn't shake a stick at.
No, I agree. I'm a little bit upset that neither of you went for 1990, which was one of my favorite years. Maybe it's because it hit at that pinnacle when I was growing up. 1990 had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The original, which I love. I think they still have not made at least a live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie as good as that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Dick Tracy, I really loved how everything popped with color in that film. I just remember watching it visually. And yeah, it was a little hokey and Madonna and whatever, but I just felt like Warren Beatty was the perfect actor to play that character. And I felt like the world was brought to life in a way that was just so much fun to watch. And Darkman was cool. Darkman was a really interesting character to take on, to bring to the screen. And it was a very fascinating way that character, was brought to life. So I really like that year. I go for years where people take chances. Not only do we have big, important films that are landmark films that are going to be remembered for years to come, but then you also have films that take risks, that take chances, that provide opportunities for other filmmakers to come down the road and take similar risks. And so that's why I'm a really big fan of 2012. I really think that this is a year that we've been looking forward to for a very long time, and I'm happy with the way it's come out. Could it have been better? What do you think, Chris?
It's hard to say. I mean, with a movie like The Avengers, which surprised a lot of people, I remember on one of the podcasts I contribute to, they didn't think it would be very good, and I said, don't exactly count it out, and then I was able to give them an I told you so. Uh-huh. But, the Avengers really came out with arms swinging, and Amazing Spider-Man, another movie that really got to the core of the character, if not so much the potential of the world of the movie. And then I posted my review for Dark Knight Rises. You know how I feel about that film, and he's Batman. He's my favorite. So 2012 is definitely a year that you can say that a lot of people have been looking forward to for a long time, if not just for the two signposts, I think, of Avengers and Dark Knight Rises. But there's a sizable amount of Spider-Man fans out there, too. So I can imagine that a lot of people have had the summer months circled on their calendars for a long time. And I think that goes a long way into saying that 2012 could definitely be the greatest year for superhero films.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I guess a consensus would be that we maybe do need a little bit more removal from the year before we kind of claim it to be the best superhero movie year ever, and that there are other years that are at least on par with this year, and that on surface value and on paper, as we're only a few days away from the release of The Dark Knight Rises, but on paper, it seems like there's nothing really that shouts out and separates this year from a year like 2011 or 2008. That, I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's something that separates it. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, for me, when it comes to seeing a movie, especially as a geek and a fanboy who wants these movies to do well, there are three things that I sort of take into consideration. There's my hope for the film, there's my expectation of the film, and then there's how I feel about the final film, which is in part taken from the first two things as well as the movie-going experience. I almost always hope that the film will do well and will be a good film. I don't ever really hope that a film does poorly. That's just not the kind of party that I throw. But then there's the expectation. And with The Avengers, I had pretty high expectations, and I felt as though they were met and not so much exceeded. For Spider-Man, I had really, really high expectations. I thought that was going to be the one that I would enjoy the most out of the summer. And I thought that it was very good. It did suffer from a couple of things. It was kind of two films put into one, which I think was a little bit of a misstep on their side of things. And then you have The Dark Knight Rises, which I actually had fairly low expectations. I had high hopes. I really hoped that I would go into the theater and just be blown away by it and love it. And instead, I just found myself getting angrier and angrier sitting there in the theater.
No, I hear you. And I think a lot of people are mixed on a Dark Knight Rises. I did not love it like Chris. I did not get angry at it like Jeff. I'm somewhere in the middle. I really liked a lot of what it did. And I just thought some of the execution could have been better. But I will say that in my career, I have not had more fun not only watching but also discussing three movies back to back to back, one in May, one in July, two in July. But I haven't had – I think I saw Spider-Man in June though. So May, June, July. I haven't had this much fun watching and discussing three movies, three superhero movies back to back to back like this ever in my life. And that says something about how successful they were, or at least how much they entertained me. But guys, before we kind of knock out of here, let's look ahead to 2013 and 2014, what we have right now. 2013, Man of Steel. Jeff could have a lot to say about that. Iron Man 3, The Wolverine, Kick-Ass 2, Thor 2 is what we're looking at next year. Jeff, I'll start with you. Does that look like a year that could perhaps be awesome?
Potentially. Hold on. I'm trying to find that list. Okay. Man of Steel, I have the highest possible hopes for. And the more that I'm learning about it, the higher that my expectations are getting as well. So we'll see how that turns out. Iron Man 3, I really hope that they find a great story that needs to be told, and that it doesn't fall under that rule of superhero trilogies where the third one always tanks. The Wolverine, I hope that it's better than the last one. The last one wasn't bad, but it wasn't very good either. Kick-Ass 2, you know, the first one I enjoyed just fine. I read the comics along with it. I've not read all the comics for Kick-Ass 2, so I'm not as familiar with the story. And my biggest worry is Thor 2, because the first one set the bar really high, and it's already a hard story to tell in a film. It could have gone the same way as Green Lantern, with being just a little bit too complicated, or being, I guess, maybe a little too unrealistic, or introducing too many almost alien-like characters from a different realm. And for Thor 2, there are a lot of chances for missteps there, and that one could be great, and I sincerely hope that it is, but that's the one that I would definitely keep my eye on the highest for being the one that will stumble and fall.
Yeah, I'm looking at 2013 now, and if anything, it looks like it's going to be a dark year for superhero movies. I feel like Man of Steel, while I don't think it'll be too dark, I think they're going to take a more kind of grittier, grounded approach to the film. Iron Man 3, I think this is going to be a pretty dark storyline for Tony Stark. The Wolverine, I think, is going to be a kind of a dark Japan looked visually, what I'm seeing so far is looking pretty cool. Kick-Ass 2, of course, is going to be, you know, foul-mouthed and R-rated and balls to the wall, and Thor 2 as well, you know. So, I mean, Chris, do you see 2013 as being sort of a darker year for superhero movies, or could it be even more fun than 2012?
Well, I think a lot of the answer to that question actually lies in Man of Steel, because the teaser trailer gave us an idea of a much darker world that Superman's going to inhabit, but it doesn't really look like we're going to see a darker Superman, you know?
Yeah.
So,
which is what matters.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I would actually have to disagree with you on the idea of it being looking like a darker world, because what I got from that is that it's a realistic, grittier world, which is kind of how Eric was describing it, and that what we're going to see is some level of verisimilitude for the modern audience. And we also have to remember that this is a film that is meant to, you know, make fans happy, but also be for a much wider audience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say that that our world, which is what the film looks like, is a darker world than what we've seen in a Superman movie in the past. Generally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but as far as the other movies are concerned anyway, there's a lot of potential to reach very high. I do agree with Jeff that Thor is the greatest possibility to maybe take a dip, just because that was a very tricky movie to pull off, and they got a very skilled director that's not coming back for the second one. But you know, it's hard to say. I really can't see the entire year experience topping for me the two top films of Dark Knight Rises and The Avengers. That's going to be very difficult to pull off, but I'm game to see if they're willing to do it, you know, just like anybody else would be, I suppose.
No, I hear you. And I have hopes for Thor. They don't have Kenneth Branagh anymore, but they have Alan Taylor. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones, but he's a big component of Game of Thrones. He directed a lot of episodes in that show, and he did a really great job, and it's one of my favorite shows on television. And so I definitely feel like he's coming from a world that really applies itself to Thor and that universe. But I do agree with Jeff, where it's finding that balance between the mythology and kind of the otherworldly aspects of Thor, and then bringing him to Earth and what is his role on Earth and who is he fighting and who is he interacting with here. I felt like it wasn't as successful with the original Thor, just in this kind of desert town. It felt like a set. So I'm curious to see where they bring him in Earth now, and how much Earth is a factor in the second Thor, and how much they do outside of Earth. I feel like that balance is really going to determine how successful the sequel is. Just to get briefly into 2014, Captain America 2, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Ninja Turtles, I think, and I know it moved, but I think it's still in 2014, and X-Men First Class 2. There may be one or two other ones mentioned in the last month. This post goes back to the beginning of July. But a lot of sequel. I mean, I think looking at both of these years, what are we looking at? We're looking at a lot of sequels is what we're looking at.
Yeah, there's also going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, that's August 2014. You're right.
Which I really hope is good. I'm very apprehensive about, because that could go the way of Green Lantern. Except I do feel as though they're going to go for a darker tone than Green Lantern did. But that's just initial impression. The big one on this list for me is Captain America 2, which is called Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And I love that storyline. I love almost everything that Ed Brubaker has done on the Captain America comic. And this was pretty early in his run, and he had a lot to do after that, which means that we could have further sequels where we have the death of Captain America or the death and return of Captain America. But to do the Winter Soldier, that does mean bringing back a character who died pretty horrifically in the first film.
It does. And it should be interesting. I know that's a lot of I know these are storylines that fans are have a lot of fans, especially with the Wolverine. I know his Japanese that I'm not exactly sure what the name of the comic is where that storyline takes place. But I know there's a lot of fans of that. And I know people, when they were saying Wolverine was going to get his solo films, this is a story they wanted to be told. And I'm curious to see how successful they are in telling it.
I think I want to say that was the Frank Miller Wolverine 4-issue miniseries from 1982, but I'm not positive about that. It's been a long time since I've read it.
That's what it looks like. That's what the inspiration is.
Yes.
Who knows what else they're going to draw? 4 issues isn't a lot to draw for an entire film, but yeah. The spirit of that definitely seems like a good choice for a cinematic adaptation.
Of the three Wolverine stories, my top three Wolverine stories, it would be Origin, which in a way was kind of the very beginning of X-Men Origins Wolverine, the first one. And then a whole lot of it was Weapon X. And the one thing that I felt was in some ways missing, even though there were still aspects of it there, was the 1982 miniseries.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like we're going to get a lot of it in 2013. Gentlemen, thanks a lot. We covered a lot of ground here. Not only did we cover whether or not 2012 is the greatest superhero movie year of all time, but we also looked ahead, talked a lot of superhero movies. I love chatting with you guys about this stuff, because you know so much about it, and it's a really fun time. And so I'll definitely have you back in future episodes to talk and geek out about some of these films by themselves as we approach their release dates. So thank you very much, and have a good week. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
And thank you, Chris.
Thanks very much for having me.
And you could read these guys at movies.com. Chris has not Chris's Dark Knight Rises countdown is done, but we are working on something else for him, and it's going to be exciting. So thanks, guys, and have a good week.
Let's go get some shawarma.
Let's go. Bye-bye.